Russell and Wilt Chamberlain, Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, some of the great rivalries in the history of basketball. Another emerged this week, Devin Booker and the Raptor. Welcome back to First Off, Aaron Karolnik and Carlo Koliakovo with you. We welcome in our good buddy, our Butabi brother, Josh Lewenberg, to the show. Hey, Jaylee, what's up, buddy?
Sup, guys?
Sup?
What was the experience like? And certainly there's been a lot that has transpired since the game between the Raptors and the Suns, seeing Devin Booker just feverishly wave off the Raptor and get him moved as the only fan in attendance. You were in the arena, Jaylee. Reflect back on that experience for us.
It was a great game, as if there was nothing else going on that night. But yeah, the highlight was Booker versus the Raptor. The Raptor in general, because his presence loomed large, in some cases literally, as he was walking around an empty arena in the 20-foot inflatable Raptor costume. And Booker, for some reason, didn't seem to be too bothered by the giant Raptor. But yeah, he didn't really seem to like regular-size Raptor, but nearly missed the free throw, too. But good on the Raptor, right? He's doing important work for this city right now in lieu of fans being in the arena. No streaming fans, no Drake there to rile up the opposing team's players also. So, yeah, it's on the Raptors. He's carrying a big workload right now, and he's delivering. The whole thing, I was confused by it, I'm not going to lie, because like mascots are doing that in full arenas every night, right? So, like, is Booker under the assumption that because the Raptors can't have fans in the arena, they can't have any kind of home court advantage, they can't have their mascots, or should Herbie not be introducing the starting lineups or doing his reads also? I'm confused by that, too, right? Because I'm not sure how much you're able to hear on the broadcast, but Herbie's doing his regular reads where he's saying, "Hey fans, make sure to keep your masks on," or "Hey fans, make sure to vote for Fred VanVleet." And like, there's literally five of us in the media sitting there on media row, and then Masai Ujiri and like a few of his front office lieutenants are sitting there with him. But outside of that, like, this is very much an empty arena. At one point, over the first few games, there was like a section of friends and family, of players, friends and family, in there, but that no longer really happening either. So this is an empty arena, aside from the Raptor running around doing his shenanigans and a few scattered people here and there. So yeah, it's I'm not sure how necessary all of the antics are, but I love that the Raptor is still doing it. And yeah, I mean, it would feel weird if he wasn't, right?
Right. Right. And, you know, who's to say that maybe Chris Paul didn't slip the Raptor a nice $100 bill and say, "Hey, we do this at our practices to get to him. Why not do it during the game and try to get to him?" Because that's what Devin Booker touched on after the game, saying that, "Oh, these guys joke around when they practice. And, you know, I hate it when they do it then. And I just hated when the Raptor did it at that time of the game." But hey, sore loser move by Devin Booker, if you ask me. You know, maybe it was the Raptor giving the Raptors a nice send-off, because they just completed an impressive homestand. They went out with a fight against the Phoenix Suns. It was an unbelievable game to watch, defensively, the grind, the battle. But they take their talents on the road right now, starting tomorrow night in Detroit, in Milwaukee, and then a visit to Miami, where they you know, revisit with Kyle Lowry. But do you like where the Raptors stand right now, considering the stretch that they've put off going onto the road, maybe getting used to playing with fans in the stands again and building off the success that they just were able to have?
Yeah, I mean, the game against Phoenix was an important one, I think. It was a bizarre six-game winning streak, right? Like, I mean, I give them more credit for it than I think most people do, and I think you should give them credit. Yeah, I mean, you could look at each game, and the Raptors, all six of those wins came against teams that were missing their best player. In some cases, like the Utah game, they were missing multiple key players. But at the same time, like, you've got to take advantage of those opportunities when they present themselves. The Raptors did that. And I think they did something that they haven't done a great job of for the most part this year, and that's beating bad teams, right? Like Chris Boucher mentioned that the other day, that this has been an inconsistent team. They've lost some games that they should absolutely win. You got Detroit coming up tomorrow. The Raptors already lost the game to Dwayne Casey and the Pistons this year. They lost that game to OKC. There's a bunch of them that really stand out. Boucher was saying the other day, like, they've got to play the way they did against Phoenix and against some of these other good teams that they've faced recently, but they've got to do that against the bad teams. The fact that they were able to do that over a six-game stretch in which they looked to really start to build some chemistry and some momentum, that was encouraging to me. But at the same time, I think, like, naturally there are going to be questions after a stretch like that. How real is it? How legit is it? Is it sustainable? Can they do it against the better teams? And even in defeat against Phoenix, I think it was encouraging, and I think it was proof that this team really is onto something, that there is something here. They are building something. They are developing. And it's not just against depleted teams or against bad teams. They didn't have two of their key starters with Barnes and with Gary Trent out. They didn't shoot the ball especially well either, but they played really hard. It certainly wasn't for a lack of effort. The 22 offensive rebounds, just inspired performances from guys like Boucher and Justin Champagny in the fourth quarter, starting to see some of those depth pieces really step up and settle into their roles coming off the bench. So to answer your question, Carlo, I do. I see where the Raptors are headed. Now that we're getting very close to the halfway point of the season, I see what they're building towards. I still think they've got to figure some things out defensively. But I do like where this team is at right now, and I do think there are some big tests coming up as well with a tough road trip coming up and some good teams here coming up on the schedule.
Our guest is Josh Lundberg, TSN's Raptors reporter. He and Nikki Reyes will have the Raptors beat for you in about 35 minutes' time right here on TSN 1050. Josh, there was a report yesterday, or maybe just a tweet. Is a tweet a report? I don't know. In any case, that the Los Angeles Lakers are interested in the services of Gary Trent Jr. Should surprise no one. I mean, the Lakers need players desperately. They're 21-21, and Gary Trent would be a great fit on any NBA roster. What do you think the likelihood is of the Raptors making a trade? And I would say if they traded Trent, that would be a sizable deal for sure. The return would be significant considering how Trent has performed, his youth, and everything associated with the way he's played this year. But what do you make of the likelihood that a guy like Trent or anyone could be moved, at least from the rotation that the Raptors currently have intact?
Well, I wonder what GM LeBron James is willing to give up for Gary Trent.
Talen Horton Tucker, perhaps? No, he couldn't possibly part with him.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, they were interested in Kyle Lowry last year, too, but they wanted him for free. So, yeah, I'm sure they're interested in a lot of guys. The question is, what are they willing to give up? I mean, we're less than a month away from the trade deadline now, but from talking to people around the league and even some people around the team, the sense that I get is that the Raptors are absolutely planning on operating as a buyer at the trade deadline this season, that they're looking to add rather than to subtract. It's just a question, as always, is what is out there. I think we're still probably a couple weeks away from talks really starting to heat up. Like, I don't think there's much discussion going on between teams right now, and I know certainly that's the case for the Raptors. It's more right now of an evaluation period, deciding ultimately, as I said, what do you want to operate as, a buyer or a seller? I think in some cases that's still unfolding around the league with teams that are sort of on the fence or on the cusp. They're trying to figure out where they're at and what they need, and I think the Raptors are kind of doing the same. In this case, this year, there are some big dominoes out there. We know about them with Ben Simmons in Philadelphia, probably Jeremy Grant in Detroit, maybe the Indiana bigs as well, and who knows, there might be a few other big names out there. I think it's one of those cases where once one of those guys is moved, perhaps the floodgates are open and all of a sudden there's a lot more activity. In terms of the Raptors and what they might be interested in, like, I think there are a number of areas that you can look at. They could use another shooter or scorer on the wing, and I think we saw that the other night in the game against Phoenix. Depending on how they feel about the experiment with Siakam and Barnes as the backup point guard, and I think for the most part it's gone pretty well, but maybe they could look to bring in a more traditional backup point guard. And then, of course, there's the longstanding need at the center position, and that's probably still the biggest need, the biggest area of need for the Raptors right now. But I think when you look at where they're at, we just talked about it, like there's an opportunity here for them in a wide-open Eastern Conference. I think it's probably been pretty tough to evaluate where they're at and what they need just because they haven't had their best players on the court together at the same time very much this year. But they've got to be encouraged by what they've seen so far, no?
Oh, absolutely, especially when they're fully intact, right? I mean, I think it's a lot of it with Scottie Barnes and Gary Trent being out against Phoenix. You hope those two are back for a 3-games-in-4-night schedule. It starts tomorrow night in Detroit. They play Milwaukee on Saturday and Monday, J. Lou, the Miami Heat. So Freddie All-Star going up against his boy Kyle Lowry. And Miami's looking really good. They've had a lot of injuries, but that Omer Yurtseven fellow who's averaging like 15 rebounds a game in Bam Adebayo's place. Made a lot of money betting the over on his rebounds. Okay, I'm a huge degenerate. I got to stop giving that away to our audience. Josh, thank you for doing this. We appreciate it, my friend. We'll be listening at 10 a.m.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. Josh's probably like, what is this guy talking about? Omer Yurtseven? But you check out that man's rebounding numbers. Unstoppable force in the paint. Huge fan.
What's
of
his name?
Omer's. Omer Yurtseven. I've been betting the over on Omer Yurtseven's rebounds for weeks now. And last night he had a bad game. Admittedly, it was a tough matchup. I think they played Atlanta last night, Miami. They just blew him out.
They did, yeah.
But, yeah, it was a tough matchup for Omer. But, yeah, he's been great. Been betting the over on Tyler Hero points, Duncan Robinson threes. The Miami Heat have been a gold mine for yours truly. And I was just reading about the Kyrie Irving situation. And apparently last night on ESPN, on I think it was in Scott Van Pelt's show, Adrian Wojnarowski said the following: there is real optimism within the Brooklyn Nets organization that Kyrie Irving will become a full-time player at some point this season. So, listen, if Brooklyn has Kyrie, Harden, and Durant all together throughout the course of a playoff, like, no one's beating them. Like, that's arguably the greatest offensive team ever. Well, I don't want to cancel the season. Golden State and Brooklyn will be a hell of an NBA final.
Well, that's what I mean. Cancel the season. Go right to the finals.
Well, go right to the finals. I mean, that would be – I can't possibly imagine anything more fun and exciting if you're a fan of sports than seeing Durant, Harden, Kyrie against Klay, Steph, Draymond. I mean, right. It'd just be ridiculous. The amount of number of Hall of Famers.
That's the dream matchup that the NBA wants for their finals, not Milwaukee versus Phoenix where – you know, you had Giannis, and then you had Chris Paul, and you had Devin Booker, but you know, not the star-studded names that the NBA would definitely hope for at that time of year.
Well, and I mean, I think when we just bring it back to the Kyrie situation, should he get vaccinated? Would I prefer he gets vaccinated? Of course.
Yes.
But
100%.
I mean, I would also argue that Kyrie Irving is a much lower risk of spreading the coronavirus to the general public than many, many fans in that building who, you know, we've heard the Pfizer and Moderna and the CDC come out and say that, you know, you have two shots, it's very limited protection. And those two shots happened months ago. Kyrie Irving gets tested for COVID every single day, and he just recovered from it. So who poses the real risk? That mandate is completely outdated in New York and should be revised, if you ask me. It wouldn't surprise me if it is revised, and maybe that's where that optimism stems from the Brooklyn Nets. We'll talk to Bob Weeks, our TSN golf analyst from Golf Talk Canada. We got to get some picks for him from him for the Sony Open. I'm eyeing two guys, Abraham Anser and Mark Leishman. We'll get Bob Weeks' takes on that, and we'll hear his thoughts on Corey Connors, who's one of the favorites, and that Netflix special on the PGA Tour. Can't wait for that, and we'll hear what kind of inside info Bob has for us. He joins us next on First Up.